It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is. And it's the Insiders on the very best day of the week. That's Thursday. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. Salute to Jiffy Lube. We love them so very much. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, Russ, I saw Russ Dog in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. I saw you on the belt. You got a tip of the hat for winning the belt. Of course, if you're the first person in the chatty house for a given day, that means you win that day's belt. And Russell won it today. And maybe he just didn't hear me shout him out before the show, so I wanted to make sure to do it now. So he knew that I knew that he won the belt on the best day of the week.
Well, sometimes you knowing that he knows that you knows is the best thing. Just saying.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that. All right, for sure. All right. We got some silly stuff to get to today. Obviously, Steph Curry got paid again. We'll get to that and what it means. But we've been doing the bit about Brandon Ayuk because every Brandon Ayuk update was just the same update couched in different language.
Yep.
There's an actual update now, but not one of the ones that I said I cared about.
Okay.
Because I said, I don't care until he has signed or he has been traded. I don't care. I couldn't care less about Brandon Ayuk updates. But John Lynch, the 49ers president of football operations and general manager, talked with media yesterday. He was originally not scheduled to talk, but then they updated their media schedule and he was on it. I think he was going to talk anyways, just because it was after cuts and practice squad additions and all that.
Well, it's standard for a general manager to talk like the day after the trade deadline or that day.
Right.
It's standard for them to talk the day after the draft or that night. Like, there's very specific things that general managers have to talk. And when you make your final cutdowns to 53-man roster, that seems to be the day, one of the major days that a GM needs to talk.
Yeah, definitely. So he went out yesterday and very obviously, almost all of the questions were Trent Williams or Brandon Ayuk related. On the Trent Williams front, it sounded like genuine, man, we're trying to get this done. We haven't been able to. We haven't been able to reach a breakthrough, but there's good communication with Trent Williams. And then somebody said, well, hey, is there good communication with Brandon Ayuk? And he went, yeah, there's communication. He said the expectation was for Ayuk to practice. Someone said, if he doesn't practice, then what happens? And he said, we'll deal with that. They're just very openly, this is the update, this is what's different. They're now very openly in the media during a press conference where they know these are going to be the questions. John Lynch is not dumb. He did not go in thinking, man, they're going to ask me about Braden Willis getting cut. I've got to be ready for that. Like, nobody gives a rip compared to the Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk stuff. And so he went in there and didn't do the, I don't want to get into the negotiations. I don't want to, you know, I like to keep my business. I liked as a player to keep my business private. I'm going to do that now. It was very clear that they are fed up, that they have given him an offer. There hasn't been any kind of counter. They have said, you can go here or you can go to the Steelers. You can play on your fifth year. You got to pick one. And he hasn't picked one. So you have John Lynch out here saying, this dude's got to practice.
Yeah.
That's the expectation. Is our players under contract are going to practice? And he didn't. Kyle Shanahan seems fed up with the whole deal. John Lynch seems fed up with the whole deal. And this is the first time it really I've genuinely felt like the Niners might just say, hey, we're done with this. We're punting. We will take whatever the Steelers are going to give us. Maybe we're not happy with it, but you know what? Get this guy out of here because we don't want BA to turn into AB. He's just becoming too much of a problem. Peace out, dude.
No, I get where their frustration level is. And I know yesterday on I went on D'Lo and Casey after our show, and and this was still a gigantic topic because it was fresh. It just happened. The Shanahan Lynch interviews both happened. And someone went at me on Twitter and said, hey, look, I was really tough on the Niners and Lynch yesterday, today, as in yesterday. And they're offering the best contract they can for a good wide receiver, and there's strict salary constraints. And then I see Spotrac puts out, you know, like the updated 2024 total cap space estimates, and the 49ers still have $38.5 million in cap space. And I know you can't just be crazy with your cap space and do stupid things, right? I totally get that. But they still have plenty of... There is not a salary constraint here for today or maybe even tomorrow when it comes to Ayuk or when it comes to Trent Williams. Like, sure, down the road, you're going to have to pay the piper.
Definitely.
But for today, there isn't a reason why they're not closing deals except for they're being very, I don't know, thorough with the way that they're handling their cap money. They're they're negotiating the way they always do. And I just thought it was really interesting to watch how it all spilled out. How like Lynch is up there and you can see the frustration. Shanahan's up there and, you know, again, like Kyle and I talked about this before we came on the air. I just thought the Bay Area media, that just did a tremendous job.
Yeah, they did really well yesterday.
Yeah, there's a moment where when you're in a scrum or you're in a press conference where something is said that all of a sudden you see that there's a string you can start pulling on. And the best scrums, the best interviews come from a moment where multiple reporters see the same thing and they all start pulling on the string together. And that's when you really get like to the crux of something. And I thought that the way, I mean, there were a couple of questions that were like out of left field and you're like, come on, man, stay on point, man, stay on point. Like we got him on the run. Let's go. But it certainly, for me, I was watching a play out. I'm like, man, that was good stuff.
And this is where I think that's what John Lynch wanted.
Yeah.
I think he was hoping that, hey, throw all the fastballs you want, because I genuinely don't think he has an answer. Because I think this has gone beyond the point of, man, the Niners are being super cheap. I think they've put out I think this is why. I think this is why they went out and let him negotiate with Cleveland and with the Patriots and with Washington, even though Washington didn't take part, and with Pittsburgh. That's three teams of varying degrees of need at wide receiver. And hey, they came back with contracts in this range. Here's a contract in that range. Would you like to play for us or for someone else? And he won't decide. And that's why I think John Lynch wanted to come out yesterday and go, fine, you know what? Here. Ask me all the tough questions because I'll tell you how I'm feeling. And I think it's, you can tell there's a very distinct difference. First of all, John Lynch looks like hell. Second of all, there's a very distinct difference between how he talks about Trent Williams and how he talks about Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, it's like a glowing, oh yeah, we love Trent. We're close. We just haven't got a deal done.
Here, I think I've got the video here, courtesy of the homies over at 95.7 The Game. Let me see if I can. This is where having a producer would be really great because they could do this for me.
Yes, of
but
course.
I'm going to bring that. I want to share that and then make that full screen. There we go, and that's got to go on, and these have to go up. See, this is what this is what a board op and producer typically do.
Okay.
Like while we would have talked before the show and said, hey, I'm going to throw to this Lynch sound. Can you make sure that's ready? Okay. Here's John Lynch talking yesterday via courtesy of 95.7 The Game. This is John Lynch talking yesterday about not seeing the Brandon Ayuk situation coming, but then he also mentions Trent Williams here.
Seems like you saw this standoff with Brandon Ayuk coming a few months ago. Did the Trent Williams situation surprise you?
I don't know that I saw the standoff with Brandon. I saw a situation that we were going to have to deal with, and man, we've been trying for a long time. We don't get paid to try; we get paid to do. And you know, I'll take accountability for anything that hasn't happened, but I won't stop continuing to fight to find the best resolution, whatever that may be. The Trent situation, you know, things come up, and this is, you know, come up. Trent's a fantastic player; he's a tremendous leader on this team. I will never fall short on my praise of Trent and what he's meant to this place. It was a great day, you know, when I got that call from Rivera saying that they would do that trade, and he's been incredible since he's been here. So we value Trent. We love Trent. We want Trent here, and I'm hopeful that can happen soon.
Seems like you saw.
He looks like he slept on a cot.
Yeah, he looks like he's been sleeping in the facility for sure. No, dude, he's going, yeah, I didn't see this thing with Brandon coming and pause and doing all this stuff with, you know, we expect him to play and we expect him to be out there and da-da-da-da-da. And then he's like, man, Trent, what a leader.
Ugh.
We just haven't regretted having Trent for a day. Like, the difference in the way he's talking about these two players, I think, kind of underscores how each of them have handled their specific holdouts or hold in in Brandon Ayuk's case.
Yeah, I think though when we break this thing down and when we get to the end of it, mm-hmm. I think we can already look back and kind of be honest about this and say the Niners did say, hey, look, you can go and talk to the Steelers, you can go and talk to the mm-hmm. Patriots, you can talk to this group, mm-hmm. right? And we'll work out a deal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was real. I think the Niners were just trying to show him that no one else is going to offer you a bunch more money.
Right, the Patriots will, and if you want to go to the Patriots, cool.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that was the point, though. The Niners just used it as an exercise. I don't, like, it was disingenuous. Like,
yes,
hey,
yes.
We're going to let you go, and if you want to go, like, no, not really. If you say yes, we're probably going to raise the price on them mm-hmm. on what we're going to ask for. And then we're not going to get a deal done, and you're going to be right back where you were before.
Right.
It feels like this entire thing has gone back and forth in like this really awkward, weird way where everyone is fighting for leverage the entire mm-hmm. time. And now, again, the player, at some point, the player does gain leverage mm-hmm. because they're the ones, like, they're not on the field, and you might not win because he's not on the field. And so you do have leverage. And I know the team always acts like they have all the leverage and mm-hmm. they're the ones who get to make the rules. It's like, well, not really.
Kinda.
Well, but not really.
Yeah, I get from the winning football game's perspective for sure.
Yeah.
But from the 49ers side, they're going, great, you're going to be fined a 1/18th of your game check.
Okay, but
like that, and that's where their leverage comes in. It's players trying to get paid. Okay, they're not getting paid. And then also they're not making money. So that, and that's what it's that's where this standoff comes in.
Yeah.
And I'll fault the 49ers all day, every day for not getting this done sooner, not foreseeing that $26 million wasn't going to get it done. Why not put whatever offer you have on the table now? Why not put that out there right away? And I get it's a negotiation and this and that, but look at the wide receiver market. We've talked about it a million times. I think they messed that up. Now I think this is on Ayuk. This continuing to drag out is on the player not making a decision. Are you going to accept the Niners' offer? Are you going to ask for this trade to the Steelers? Are you playing on your fifth year? You got to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now it's no longer that nobody's gaining leverage. Nobody's doing anything. It's just Brandon Ayuk is just not resolving this situation. He's not saying yes or no to anything. He's just there at the facility and not showing up to practice.
Yeah.
Like that's that.
Well, I think the leverage that the Niners played yesterday was to send him to the team doctors and have him go through the medical.
Mm-hmm.
And once he clears the medical, now it's like game on, right? Mm-hmm. That's when it becomes a problem. That's when he starts getting fined and everything else. Mm-hmm. As of right now, he's been there. So he's not getting the big fines every day. I mean, what they say, Trent Williams is already up to $4 million in fines mm-hmm. and $1 million every game he misses. Mm-hmm. So there is actually like a monetary issue with him. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Ayuk, it's not so much the same thing. And he's been claiming the whole time that whatever, he has a back injury or whatever, so he can't practice. And now we get to the point where it's like, okay, you've been medically cleared. It's game on.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, you know, it's Ayuk saying, you know, there's a reason why he's not saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that reason is.
I don't know the exact dollar.
I think they do know. But this is, they're the ones with a microphone right now and he's not.
But that's the thing is I don't think John Lynch would have handled yesterday
mm-hmm.
the same way if there was a genuine good faith negotiation still happening. If Ayuk had said, hey, or Ayuk's reps, had said, because from what I understand, the way this typically goes is team talks to agent. Well, agent and player talk.
Mm-hmm.
Here's kind of where we're in the neighborhood of. Here's the comps, this and that. Okay, here's kind of what we're shooting for. Agent goes to talk to team. Team and agent exchange offers. Agent goes back to player with offer and says, here's this offer, and kind of explains, breaks it down. So, and then Ayuk has had these individual meetings with Lynch and Shanahan, which I thought was so he would know where they were at and kind of how this is playing out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there is a genuine good faith negotiation still going on. I think you would have heard John Lynch yesterday. He might have been frustrated still, but doing the thing he said with Trent Williams, you know, there's good communication. We just haven't been able to find a breakthrough yet. I hope to find that breakthrough soon. But the fact that he's saying, yeah, we expect him to practice, there's communication, whether it's good or not, like he's not going to say, but I think that the ball is very much in Ayuk's court and he's just not making a play.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like this was a like very clear like message, like we have to get this done. I also feel like John Lynch does look bad. Like mm-hmm. he looks like he's just beat up and worn out. And
he genuinely does. Like physically, the optics, the nonverbal communication of how John Lynch looks is
it's almost,
not great.
It's almost like you're like, okay, is that real, man? Or were you like literally getting ready to come out to the press conference and feel like, man, you look pretty like upbeat and like, well, that's not the message I want. Like, okay, let's work with you. And like mess up his hair, the gel's out of his
stairs.
Hair. Like, you know, like put some little dark lines under his eyes. Like, you know, dab him in. Like, hey man, we got to make you look like you're very emotional about this. I also, but at the end of the day, like, look, the 49ers aren't the Carolina Panthers.
Sure.
They like their window is closing. They have a window. They see the window like everyone else does.
Mm-hmm.
The window isn't going to last another 10 years. You might be able to, you know, start a new window,
mm-hmm.
but they're the ones who have that sort of pressing matter on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they deal with it.
What I want to know I would be really interested to see with the Trent Williams stuff. If you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. I would be really interested to see with the Trent Williams stuff what the holdup is. Is he genuinely, and maybe this is what Brandon Ayuk's doing. They saw what Nick Bosa did last year and they went, man, just getting to hang out until practice starts that Thursday before the regular season? Yeah, I'll just do that. And maybe that's just what Ayuk and Williams are doing. Williams, that Wednesday, will agree to a deal and then fly to Santa Clara and suit up and be in practice that Thursday. And that's what it'll be. And same thing with Brandon Ayuk. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have questions about, and this is where you wouldn't get an answer, no matter how many strings you pull as a reporter, no matter, you're just not going to get this answer. Why are you not offering him, Trent Williams specifically, whatever he wants?
Yeah.
Unless he wants $100 million fully guaranteed over the next 4 years. Like, that's obviously crazy.
Yeah.
But if what he wants is within any kind of reason, why are you not just doing that?
I would agree.
I'm so much in the camp, and if you're not fine, and I clearly the 49ers aren't, I'm very much in the camp of whatever problems you create 3 and 4 years from now, whatever problems you have to create 3 and 4 years from now to make sure that you are as competitive as possible in 2024,
yep,
you have to do that. You just I if it means that Trent Williams is costing you a ton of money at age 40 and he's not very good anymore, and Brandon Ayuk is costing you a ton of money at age 29, you know what? Hey, it hasn't quite worked out the way you hoped he would. He's been a little bit banged up. His production's fallen off. Hey, you know what? So be it. But you got to make sure you're competitive now. And this is D'Lo and KC talked so much about this yesterday, how different this would look if the Niners had a title.
Mm.
If they'd won the Super Bowl last year, this would all look so very different.
Yeah.
Assuming everything plays out the same way. Because now you can very easily justify, hey, you know what? Coming off this Super Bowl, we're trying to expand this window. These guys got to get kind of with the program here. We're trying to make this multiple Super Bowls. At some point, like, you got to go get one.
Yeah.
And they are in danger now of putting themselves behind the curve for 2024, where you already were fighting an uphill battle with trying to win a Super Bowl the year after losing it, which has happened, what, like 4 times in NFL history? And 3 of them were in the 1970s. 3 of them were 50 freaking years ago.
Yeah.
And they're trying to pull that off while also trying to pull this off with Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. Or without Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk, like they're just 2024 was going to be exceedingly difficult to begin with, and now they're making it even harder. And now they might make it where they're jeopardizing 2025 and beyond as well.
Yeah.
So I am fascinated to eventually someday hopefully get the TikTok of how this all went down. The TikTok being the newspaper phrase of the story that gives kind of the blow-by-blow of how this happened, not a physical, like, TikTok video.
Yeah, I definitely would love to see how, what the behind-the-scenes, like, the give-and-take. It's almost like you wish that, like, Hard Knocks was there and they were, like, filming all of this.
Big time.
Like, you're really wishing they were filming, like, most of what's happening here. I don't know how else to put it, but, again, I think that Ayuk is an exceptional player, and I think he's a guy that you want on your team. But there does come a point where you just kind of say, okay, if this isn't happening, then we just have to move on.
Yeah.
And I think they're super close to that. Like what we're seeing yesterday, like, okay, this is getting very close where Ayuk might get sent to wherever tomorrow.
And here's what sucks for the 49ers in this. Because if they want to call the Steelers now, the Steelers would be brilliant to go, yeah, hey, we were going to offer a second and a third. How about a fifth?
Yeah.
Like, if you're really trying to get rid of him, like, then you have no leverage with us.
Yeah.
Set the block on fire. Like, I don't, what?
Well, and he can just keep saying, well, I'll just hold out for you as well. And you'd be like,
right. But that's the thing, is they have a contract ready for him.
Yeah.
They've agreed that he's ready to go.
Yeah.
But that, and I am... I don't think the 49ers envisioned this going this way.
No, that's clear. That's clear. But, you know, again, we saw this last year with Bosa, and we kept talking about, like, this $30 million a year number. Like, I remember with Bosa, it was, like, so clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is he going to get 30? What's it going to look like? Just give him the $30 million. And then when it all gets said and done, it was, like, 37.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't 30. And we're like, oh, maybe we don't know what the hang-up was. Because that dollar figure that Bosa got was way more than anyone thought he was going to get. It was way more than anyone was reporting.
Well, they knew he was going to be the highest paid non-quarterback ever.
Well, yeah, but you didn't know it would be like $5 or $6 or $7 million more than anyone had reporting-wise. So, again, I maybe there is some holdup here that he wants CeeDee Lamb money or he wants Justin Jefferson money, and he's being outlandish and he's not that guy. But he thinks he's that guy, and you're fighting that battle.
Or, and to kind of piggyback off that, maybe that's right. Maybe Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk, they're not looking at Nick Bosa going, oh, I'll just come to practice that day. That sounds great, missing all that time. Maybe they're going, hey, this is the secret to out-negotiating the 49ers.
Of course.
You just sit here, and they're going to cave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and so maybe you're right. Maybe the players do have all the leverage here. Because the Niners are the ones that are going to have to cave ultimately, if they want those two guys back. And frankly, Dan Graziano at ESPN wrote today. Graziano's a pretty plugged in national reporter.
Uh-huh.
Basically, intimated not only is Trent Williams in danger of missing Week One, depending on when he gets back in practice, he might miss more than Week One.
Mm.
And now you're talking real disaster. I mean. Because your first few games are more like training camp in the preseason anyway, right? It's your ramp up.
Yep.
So you have to get Trent Williams, and let's just say Brandon Ayuk as well, ramped up, get their training camp games in, you know, quote unquote, their preseason games in. And, okay, they're ready to go. They're in full swing by November. Okay, well, what if you're now 2-5? And you got to go 8-2 to just make the playoffs. And then you're going on the road in the playoffs. Like, there's so much that can and will go wrong with this.
Mm-hmm.
So much more than whatever hang-up the 49ers had at any point with either of these two players. And that's where I'm hoping that in the future, they navigate these things differently. They should be on the horn with Brock Purdy's representation the day Week 18 ends. Because that's when Brock Purdy is extension eligible. If they're signing him long term, that day, what do you want? We'll do it.
Yeah, what's the plan?
let's get this done.
Let's not do this again.
Let's get this in under the Dak Prescott deal. Whoever has deals coming up, we're getting this done first. We're setting the market. What do you want?
They can't keep doing it this way.
It can't happen.
If this is your business model, you got to blow it up. And I know you found success on the field, But this is not a successful business model. What they're doing here, the way that they conduct a business, it's just not the way to do things. If you're going to, again, we can say that, you know, oh, well, they've been to the Super Bowl twice. They've been to the NFC Championship game twice. It's the little tiny things that might hold you back from winning it all. And it's not like one big thing. It can be one big thing. It can be Brock Purdy breaking his elbow in the first quarter of a game. But it can also be an accumulation of these little things all the way throughout the season where somebody had to play extra snaps or somebody took a hit they shouldn't have taken.
Yep.
Or somebody was asked to do something that they just weren't capable of doing and you lost two or three games because of it. And that's what the, like, winning a Super Bowl, everyone has to be pulling the same exact way for an entire season. And I really do feel like this shows some major cracks, not just in, you know, like one player or two players, but really the way that you're conducting business. And it just, this should not be the way that you're doing things.
I'm totally with you. Yeah, if the blueprint is out on how to beat you, you don't continue to try that same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You have to change the way you're doing things. If somebody figured out what Kyle Shanahan was doing on offense, he would, at halftime, change what they were doing.
Yep.
And if this is really the case, if Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams have gone, hey, to get exactly what I want, I just have to hold out until the first week of the year.
Yeah.
Then change something. Yep. You got to do it different. No matter how this all ends, I think you're going to see the 49ers change their business practices moving forward. Here, just to finish up here, I think they're losing week one. I am ready. I'm in a survivor pool. I am fully ready to lean Jets.
Oh.
It just, dude.
That's a bold move.
Is it, though? I mean, I also thought the Niners were going to go lose to Pittsburgh last year in week one, but I just, with to get set, no, get, our engineer just, ooh, he's trying to mess with me. The vibes this year are just so bad. And then you go in with no Trent Williams and no Brandon Ayuk week one.
Or even a diminished.
Or a dramatically diminished version of both against a Jets defense that might be the best in the NFL.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
If Aaron Rodgers is even a little bit good, that's going to be a tough one.
Yep.
That's going to be tough. All right. Luckily, they have a week and a half to figure it out. September 9th. September 9th, not only Niners first game, that's a watch party for D'Lo and Casey, I believe, down at Sky River.
Nice.
I think. I don't know if that's been announced yet.
Oh, did you just like...
I might have just did a boo-boo.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm also not 100% sure it's that day.
Just making stuff up?
Yeah, I'm just making things up.
That's
I have no idea what's happening. I need to be better about knowing what's going on at this station. Anyway, just go hang out at Sky River. Just go visit Sky River and hang out there until D'Lo and Casey show up.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, cool. Very cool. There'll be a live show again there someday. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. We got a ton of stuff to get into. Of course, this Brandon Ayuk 49ers stuff isn't going away. Steph Curry got paid again. That's kind of wild considering that he's almost 40. We'll talk about that. Jason Tatum talked about his Olympic experience. I want to get into that with you, James. And the best first pitch ever happened last night in Major League Baseball. We'll tell you about that as well. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Voice guy, save me.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Seth, our engineer, was messing with us
earlier
while he was walking by. Yeah, he walked by like doing a weird thing in the window, and then he walked by again doing a different weird thing in the window. So I say weird thing. He turned his body parallel, good fade, turned his body like parallel to the window. Mm-hmm. So he was walking like sideways across it and making a weird face.
Oh.
And then when he walked back, he did the same thing, but with his back turned.
Oh.
And so I went to go track him down to let him know that we're doing a very serious radio program in here.
We are doing serious stuff.
And you know how Seth is.
Yeah.
You get to chit-chatting with Seth, and he can be standing there for 15 minutes saying zero serious things. I went, oh, hey, I have a show to go do.
Oh.
And I came back in here with 3 seconds left in the break.
That's good timing, Kyle.
It's intuition.
It is.
I know how long about 4 minutes is. That's about how long our breaks are.
All right.
Also, pause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're also lucky it wasn't a 3 minute and 30 second break.
Well, yeah, I looked ahead of time today to make sure we didn't have any exorbitantly short breaks. We're giving stuff away, though.
We are. We are online only giving away Six Flag Discovery Kingdom tickets. So what
you don't
you
have
do?
To say the online only part.
Well, I know.
That's okay. Here we go. Re-rack it. 3, 2, and 1.
Go to ESPN 1320. We have for a chance to score tickets to Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. Just fill out the entry form and submit it at ESPN1320.com for your chance to visit the thrill capital of Northern California.
The thrill cap, baby.
That's right. We are giving away 4 packs of Six Flags admission tickets courtesy of Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. Go to ESPN1320.com. Fill out the form, enter the contest, get some tickets, have a good time.
Yeah, go have a great time. Phone lines are open, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. You can't call to win those tickets, like James said. You have to go to ESPN1320.com to enter, but the phone lines are open now if you want to jump in on the conversation. Anything to say about Brandon Ayuk, anything to say about Trent Williams, and the 49ers' chances with or without those players, go ahead and dive in. Some news came down via Adrian Wojnarowski this morning. Stephen Curry and the Golden State Warriors agreed to a 1-year, $62.6 million extension that keeps Curry with Golden State through his age 39 season. I guess it's technically his age 38 season. He turns 39 in March of that final season, the 2026-2027 year. So he will be 39 at the end of his contract. He's obviously not going to be a $63 million player. Mm-hmm. By the time the 2026-27 season rolls around. But this is one of those things in sports where you're just going to pay that guy. It's like Dirk with Dallas. Like, yep, we're going to pay this guy to make sure he stays in our uniform. Once in a while, a player like that rolls through.
Yeah, I am of the opinion that we need more players to just stay in one uniform their entire career.
I agree.
And, you know, like, you can think what you want of, like, Karl Malone. That's fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he finished his career with the Los Angeles Lakers and not the Utah Jazz, just lame, you know? And I think there are so many players that we can look at. Just like, man, you got a chance to be that guy for that franchise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if De'Aaron Fox is that guy for this franchise, the Sacramento Kings. Maybe he is. Maybe he finishes his entire career as a Sacramento King. I would be totally fine with that. I think it would be great to see something like that. But to have this, the potential for Steph Curry to not finish with the Warriors, like, I can't imagine that. Like, again, it's very much like Dirk.
Really weird.
Yeah, Dirk was the Dallas Mavericks.
Yep. Still, to an extent, still is. He's around a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder, though, if we're going to see this become more of a thing, where if given a chance, players will stay with one team for their entire... Dame being with the Bucks is weird.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it. It's very odd. And this is not to say, like, Patrick Ewing played for the Magic at the end of his career.
He played for the Seattle Supersonics.
Oh, my God. Did he?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, there were a couple of teams on the way out the door. Just like, you remember Hakeem Olajuwon played for the Toronto Raptors.
The Raptors, yeah. So that's where, and Hakeem, nobody thinks differently of Hakeem because he went and played for the Raptors.
No, that's true.
Nobody thinks different of Ewing as a Knick because he played for Orlando and Seattle.
Yeah.
But it does, like, man, there are those pictures now. There's pictures of just Patrick Ewing playing against Hakeem Olajuwon when they were with the Magic and the Raptors, respectively. It's just kind of odd. But with how much of a fever pitch the create a super team, force your way out, go wherever you can go to win a title, that kind of hit that peak when Kevin Durant went to Golden State. And I think there was so much backlash there that it became so much, it became, I don't want to say cooler, but the trend, I think, is going to move back toward, yeah, this guy's going to stay with this team his entire career unless he gets traded. And I think you're going to see, I think you see Giannis staying in Milwaukee his entire career.
Maybe. Jokic,
I could see him being in Denver his entire career. Steph being with Golden State his entire career. I could see Luka being with the Mavs his entire career. De'Aaron Fox, I think you're right. I think he's a player that could wind up being with the Kings his entire career. I think Domas could be the kind of player that, okay, he went to OKC and then Indiana, but you know what? He was with the Kings for so long and had so much success with the Kings for so long that, hey, he's just synonymous with the Kings.
You identify him as as a King.
That's his team.
I think Jason Tatum has a chance to play his entire career. Like, I don't know if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum will both play their entire career with the Boston Celtics, but like, I like the idea of that, of a player staying in one place and riding out the highs and lows of a franchise and sort of the cycles, the life cycles of a franchise. And, you know, maybe it doesn't really matter in the end because you're right. We don't look at some of these players and just trash them for the 1 year that they had, but you know.
No, but here's one. If LeBron had just been in Cleveland his entire career, he's viewed differently, right?
Oh, totally.
Like, I think his Q rating is 50 times higher.
It's already really, really high.
It's so extremely high.
It's tough to understand, you know, how to put him at some other level.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Michael Jordan finished with the Washington Wizards. I mean, like, there's...
Did he, though?
I mean, yeah, we want to forget, but, you know, he came out of retirement and took some money to go play for... the Wizards, or were they the Bullets at that time?
No, it was the Wizards for sure.
Okay.
He played in that old white and teal and gold.
Yeah.
Look, no doubt. But that was different. Like LeBron in his prime bounced on his hometown to go to Miami to play basketball with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and form a super team.
It's funny because he doesn't hear the negative nearly as much as Kevin Durant does, and
not anymore.
And Durant didn't start with his like hometown team.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's intriguing.
Durant didn't even start in Oklahoma City, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, no.
Kevin Durant was in the league the same time as the Sonics. That blows my mind every time I see it.
Yeah.
But I think if Kevin Durant had gone OKC, Golden State, back to OKC, and then won a title there, I think a lot of the disdain for Kevin Durant would have diminished. The same way, I think that's where LeBron turned it around.
Yeah.
He went back to Cleveland, won him a title, came back from 3-1 down, incredible. All right, he's going to LA now. He's going to finish out his career there. Salute.
I think, like, if you look at LeBron's career path, for being as good a player as he is, I mean, maybe Wilt played for a couple of teams, but players that are that good usually don't play for, well, switch teams four times in the heart of their career, right? Because he did go from Cleveland to Miami, back to Cleveland, then to LA.
Yeah.
Like, you don't typically see that from, like, the greats of the greats.
No.
So, I don't know. It's a different era. Free agency and everything else, but you know.
But I think you're going to start seeing the players who are stars of stars, like the dudes who are that dude. I think you're going to start seeing them stick around and want to finish out their career with team that drafted them.
Yeah.
Or team that traded for them on draft day. You know, however that shakes out, wherever they spent their first season.
Yeah,
I think it's cool, man. I think it's I ultimately think it's good for the sport. Because now it's not, hey, the first chance Luka gets, he's out of Dallas. And he's gonna go to Miami or LA or New York, and those are Golden State, and that's what it's gonna be. Hey, do you know what? De'Aaron Fox, he's out of there. The second he can get to New York or LA or Miami, I think it's so much better to have players sticking with teams and trending back toward, like, people root for teams instead of they just bounce around with players. The sport is so much more fun that way, where you can cultivate rivalries and you can cultivate, you know, I like this player because he's been on my favorite team for this long. I don't like that guy because he's been a thorn in my team's side for super long with that team. I think that's great. That's the peak of the sport.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think maybe you and I both feel this way a little bit. There is some news. Brandon Ayuk is not at practice right now, as 49ers open practice.
Yikes, dude.
According to our friend Matt Maiocco and Nick Wagner.
Tough.
Yeah, very tough. Yeah, I think you and I might be jaded in this other conversation we're having because we are Oakland A's fans. And we felt like a lack of attachment to players forever. And that's really, really difficult to like wrap your head around as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, again, right now as we sit, there are 10-year-olds. There are people that were 10 years old when De'Aaron Fox was drafted by the Kings in 2017, that are now like 17 going
graduating
on 18.
High school.
They're graduating high school.
Man.
They've only known the Kings with De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
It's great.
It's a cool thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, you can have a Fox jersey in a kid size small sitting in your drawer that was your first jersey.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
It means a lot.
Yeah, and to not be able to have that attachment to players, I think it's really hurt the value of the Sacramento Kings. I mean, of the Oakland A's. It's hurt their fan base. It's hurt everything. Where you have people who are attached, but a lot of them are like, okay, I was, you know, Rick Henderson fan, or I was, mm-hmm. you know, I was a
McGuire, Canseco.
Yeah, even the early, you know, the 71, 72,
Sal Bando, Joe Rudy.
Yeah, like they're fans of the great eras of A's,
mm-hmm.
the 89 A's, you know, all that stuff. But they can't really say who their favorite player is over the last 15 or 20 years because you don't give them enough to like fall in love with.
Right. Well, and you're seeing that now with the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
Every Giants fan I know is completely fed up with the Farhan Zaidi tenure and going above Farhan Zaidi to mm-hmm. ownership, where, hey, what happened to the Buster Posey, Pablo Sandoval, Brandon Belt, Matt Cain, Tim Lincecum, these guys that we could be our guys, and Brandon Crawford. Yeah,
yeah.
Who come up through the minors and we see them progress to the minors and we see them make their major league debut and we see them all gel together to become this championship contender for a 6-year window. They want that now, but man, Luis Matos and Marco Luciano are down here playing at Sutter Health Park when they should probably be up in the big leagues playing every day.
Yep.
Hayden Birdsong sets a career high in strikeouts, immediately gets optioned because they need to bring up rando reliever for their road trip.
Mm.
And people can't feel like they can't get attached in that way. Like, bring the young guys up, let them play, let us be fans of these guys, and let us get behind this group. So we can all grow together.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing more fun than that. There's nothing more fun as a fan than being at that baseline level. That's why I bring this back to De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
You said if you're 10 years old and that's when you're first like, yeah, Kings, De'Aaron Fox, man, that putback dunk in Miami, man, this kid's awesome. Love this guy. Huge De'Aaron Fox fan. You're getting to see him go through the stages of, man, really, the team's struggling. They're starting to figure it out. Okay, they're right on the edge. Oh, big time Domantas Sabonis trade. Here we go. Okay, things look good in that first little bit less than half a year with Sabonis, and then boom, rocket ship takes off, electricity.
Yeah.
And now you're riding that wave. There's nothing more fun as a fan than that rise, and you don't get that when, hey, you know what? Player X on our team is really fun. I really love this guy, but I'm very concerned that he's going to leave. Oh, yep, there he goes. He asked out. Because now the next exciting young guy that comes up, yeah, he's probably going to ask out.
I think it's interesting because I hadn't really thought about, you know, players finding their NBA home until this group of Kings. Because, you know, I covered a team that was dysfunctional and lost its way a million times, and you could say, yeah, I want to find my NBA home. And you can say that, like, oh, I love Sacramento. But after 3 years of winning 28 games or winning 31 games, it starts to wear on players and they start to look like, hey, you know, I would like to go and win. I would like to play for somewhere that gives me an opportunity to win. And so you always felt like, hey, it was tough for players. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, like, said how many times he loved the city of Sacramento, mm-hmm. still does, right? Mm-hmm. All of the work that he did, like, off the court, you know, he did a lot of good things, right? But he might be one of the few that was here in Sacramento, like, all in the whole time. And then you get to this group of players where all of a sudden you see veterans coming in, you know, and Sabonis is a veteran when he gets here, 25, 26 years old, but instantly feels like, oh my gosh, I might have found my NBA home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's De'Aaron Fox, you know, welcoming him with open arms. But then you see like the Malik Monk situation,
mm-hmm.
the Keegan Murray situation. Now you start feeling like a group of people have found their NBA home and want to play together as a, you know, mm-hmm. and win as many games as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And that's a really cool breakthrough moment, especially for a fan base that was starving forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool thing to see. And so, I don't know. I think it's a good thing to keep players. And that's where it's like, if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I pay Steph until I can't pay him anymore.
Like
until
literally,
he can't play anymore.
Seriously. Until he decides, I don't want to do this sport anymore.
Yeah.
Because there are people, you talk about De'Aaron Fox, people were 10 years old when De'Aaron Fox came into the league. A 10-year-old when Steph Curry came into the league is 25 now?
Yeah.
Like that, they've grown up with them. And frankly, there are people who are going to go to games, who are going to go to Chase Center just for that.
Yeah.
The Warriors are going to be mid as hell. And people are going to go because of Steph.
Oh, yeah.
Because you might see something like that Olympic gold medal game. Hey, he might not do it at the consistent rate that he used to. He's not going to hit 400 threes in a season, but man, that one game where he hits 10, you want to be there.
Yeah, you can see something special on any given night.
And he's just now synonymous with Golden State, because remember, Golden State was an afterthought when Steph Curry got drafted. And now they've risen to the heights that they rose to, and Draymond had his significant role, and Clay had an even more significant role, and Steve Kerr and Andre Iguodala and all these guys who have come in and out, Bob Myers, they've all played their roles. But dude, like, Steph is the guy, and so you want to hang on to that as long as humanly possible, because that's what people want to see.
It's also possible that Draymond could play his whole entire career there. I just don't feel the same way. Like, if he plays his entire career with Golden State Warriors, it's like, okay, that's fine. I mean, and I think there are players like that. I mean, again,
go ahead. I'm.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I just think it's interesting. Like, Larry Bird played with the Boston Celtics the entire time. But if I'm not mistaken, so did Kevin McHale. And you always think of Larry as like the Boston Celtic, but
yeah.
Kevin McHale played the entire time as mm-hmm. well, his entire career with the Celtics. So I just think that certain players, they transcend whatever, and like either way.
Draymond is under contract. He has a $27.6 million player option in 26-27. So he and Steph are under contract for the same amount of time.
Player option.
For his age 36 season. So he'll be 37 when he's a free agent. I'm just going to report this now. Draymond's picking up $27.6 million player option in 26-27.
I
feel
agree.
So good about that. I feel so freaking good about that.
That's
does
funny.
He play again after? Because I don't think he's going to get traded. I don't think they'll be able to move him.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe 25.8 for a team that's talking themselves into it.
I think it's funny, John Bull in the chat brings up Robert Parrish should have never left the Boston Celtics. Parrish played his first 4 years with the Golden State Warriors. And then he finished his career with the Hornets
yeah.
and then one last year at age 43 with the Bulls.
But that goes to the thing I was talking about with Domas. Domas is going to be a Sacramento King.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers the 4 years Robert Parrish played with Golden State in the 70s. People are going to go, wait, he was on Oklahoma City? People might remember that he got traded from Indiana, but nobody's going to go like, wow, great Pacer. Mm. You know, everybody's going to know him as a king.
No, I think so. I mean, I think that's the way it's setting up. And, you know, Sabonis he's under contract for, he signed a 4-year extension.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he will have been a king for like 5.5 years at the end of his current deal. And I would assume that, you know, he's a player who might stick around and be here for the long haul.
He is under contract through his age 31 season.
Yeah.
And I imagine that he's going to continue being productive at that point. I'm guessing he gets a fat extension at some point in the next 2 or 3 years that keeps him with the Kings for longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, he's currently under contract for 4 more years, including this year, so that would put him at 6.5 years a King.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I could see him playing a lot
longer. He's going to get 10 or more.
And it's funny, we were talking about this the other day. Jason Thompson is the all-time leader in games played for the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason played, it's 241 games with the Kings.
Jeez.
De'Aaron Fox is like right there. So
wait,
Fox
how many did you say?
200. Okay,
that can't be right.
So no, 500.
Okay.
So Fox at 469 nice. Right now. Jason Thompson is at 541.
So he will literally, no. 72 games to tie him?
Yeah, 72. So if he plays 72 games, he would tie him.
And he's averaged 73.5 the last 2 years. Yeah.
That's funny.
Does De'Aaron Fox break the Kings record for games played this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's a good thing to have a player like that, though,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, mm-hmm. you want a player that will hold all the records. He'll when De'Aaron Fox is done, if he continues the way that things are going right now, he will be the Sacramento era Kings leader in steals and assists and points.
Probably points, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could keep going. If he starts shooting 7.8 3-point attempts per game, he could also hit a bunch of those numbers too. And then there's someone else coming up behind him. And maybe that's Keegan Murray. And maybe Keegan Murray's the same thing. And he beats all of De'Aaron Fox's records once it's all said and done. But except for the assist numbers, he's not going to get there. But
I wish I could. How many minutes is De'Aaron at? Do you have that in front of you right now?
Minutes for his career?
Yeah.
Yeah. Minutes played. He's at 15,420.
Mitch Richmond is the Kings' all-time leader in minutes at 19. The Sacramento era at 19,532.
So 2 more years.
2 more years to get there.
But how many games? Because that's Mitch held the record for most games played.
517.
Yeah. And Jason
Thompson. Mitch at 517, Peja at 518, Jason Thompson at 541.
Oh, that's right. Peja passed Mitch the day before he got traded.
Oh.
Yeah. So when he got traded for Ron Artest, that's the moment that he passed Mitch.
Forgive me here. My in-depth knowledge of Kansas City Royals basketball is not quite there, so I'm trying to wing this on the fly. Field goal attempts, De'Aaron's 20 behind Chris Webber. He'll get that game one.
For all time?
Yeah.
And field goal attempts.
I'm sorry, field goal makes.
Field goal makes.
Field goal makes.
Wow.
Eddie Johnson is there, but he was with Kansas City for part of that.
Okay.
At 37-23.
And Richmond doesn't have way more field goal attempts?
Richmond is the leader at 4,230.
Field goal attempts.
Field goals.
Okay, made field goals.
Made field goals, yeah. So De'Aaron's 800, 600-ish behind him. Well, that's 560 behind him.
Okay, he can get that this year.
Yeah, field goal attempts, Mitch, 9,338. De'Aaron's at 77.96.
Yeah, I mean, he'll rewrite the Kings record book.
I mean, it's going to be silly.
Yeah.
If he plays, you know, I'm going to try and manifest 20 years for De'Aaron Fox in the league. And he's with the Sacramento Kings for all of those. He's gonna just obliterate everything.
Yeah, and the next
he's already 697 is how many threes De'Aaron has.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Bibby's next at 775, Mitch at 993, Peja at 1070, Buddy Hield at 1248.
Yeah.
So De'Aaron's gonna get that in 2 or 3 years.
Maybe. Yeah,
how many threes do you have last year?
It just depends on.
I should just have his page open. I'm sorry, I'm doing a bad job.
If he can, he's got 697 career threes.
Right. He had 214 last year. Yeah. So if he averages 200 for the next 3 years, which I think he will,
then he'll surpass Buddy Hield.
He's going to blow by Buddy Hield.
It's wild to think that's where he's at. Now he's only on a contract for 2 more years.
De'Aaron's fourth all time in 3-point attempts in Kings history.
Wild. No, I mean, I think that means something.
We got to go to a break. We do have to go to break. All right. We'll have more of this. Mitch, I see you on the line. We'll get to Mitch as well on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.